had practice, you had shows. So now we're going to really put you to work. Let yourself in for it. I'm going to sing a little song, Polu Tsen Gagavakis Tsua. Wow. And when we get to the part that goes, Hold Yule, we'd like you to answer with a cuckoo. But we'll try that once again.
Polu Tsen Gagavakis Tsua, Hold Yule. Olyei kuku, rukma väli, rukma tuo, olyei kuku, kuku. Yoruri duuri, yupsasa.
Now, hold it. Because when we get to that part, yoruri hundri,
yupsasa,
we'd like you to all to go, yoruri hundri,
yupsasa.
How far up you want to yoke is up to you, but let's see if we can get it.
Yoduri hodri, yup, sasa.
That wasn't very high, you gotta go a little higher.
Yoduri hodri, yup, sasa.
A little better.
Olie, cuckoo, olie, cuckoo. Yoduri hodri, yup, sasa. Olie, cuckoo.
Up there on the hill, I can't see too well back there, but I hope you can. All right, I think we're about
ready.
They've
got an awful long ways to yups.
About, yeah, all right. Maybe you're going to have to stay on your knees for this one. Now, if there's one more thing you'll do, you'll really be ready for this song, and that is grab your neighbor by the arm, link your arms, and just naturally...
If this were one of those fancy folk festivals, I'd ask for the lights to be dimmed. But we can't afford dimmers. So if you'd all kind of close your eyelids and make it dark and sinister, I'd like to bring on Jerry Cushman to tell you a story. Jerry teaches children's literature at UCLA and tells stories to kids. And I understand this story is about the devil.
This one is called Wicked John and the Devil. Now, one time there was a blacksmith by the name of John. Now, I suppose he was a good enough fella, but somehow or other he was considered wicked. You see, he didn't go to church, and so they got to calling him Wicked John. But he was a good-hearted sort of guy. I don't know. People liked him. Anyway, he was a blacksmith, and one day when he was working in the shop, why, he noticed an old man coming up the road. Now, that old man was tired. You could see that he was tired because he kind of walked a little weary. He had a lot of sort of dirt on his face. His beard was a sort of a scraggly kind of a gray, and his old sort of overall jacket was kind of torn, and the shoes weren't that much. And when he got over to about where the well was, why, John just saw him sit down, and he was all tuckered out. John went out there, and the old man said, I wonder if I could trouble you for a drink of water. And John said, why, sure, old man. Why don't you just sit there in the shade of that tree, and I'll be right back. Well, John was a good-hearted fella, and he went in the place, and he got a little dish of... He picked up some, cornbread. He had some greens. He picked up a big glass of buttermilk and a glass of water and a hunk of apple pie with a little piece of cheese on it. And he took it out there to the old man. Well, the old man was not only thirsty, because he drank all the water right away, but he was hungry, and he ate every lick stitch of that food. And after a while, John, not wanting to embarrass him, you know, he went back on into the shop, and he started working. But, you know, sometimes when you're working, you sort of feel that somebody is kind of close to you. And he looked up, and there in front of him was a man about 6'6", white hair, a long, snowy beard, and eyes were just as twinkling blue as the ocean. And his robe was a pure white. And John, he looked out the door, and he said, where'd that old man go? And that man stood up there, and he said, why, I'm that old man, John. My name is Peter. And every once in a while, the Lord sends me down to kind of look around and see how the human folk are getting along, and kind of looking for a sort of a good man. Well, John, you know, you did me a good favor, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 3 wishes. Now, John, you can wish for anything you want in this world, but I want you to think careful. 3 wishes, and anything you say, they'll come true. Well, said John, I got my shop, and got my wife, and I'll tell you. You see this old hammer that I got here, and that old rocking chair. I'll tell you what I want. Now that rocking chair, I like that rocking chair, and every once in a while, when I get through at night, I like to sit in that chair and just kind of cool off. But you know, those loafers from town come there, and they sit in that chair, and they won't get up. I tell you, the next time somebody sits in that chair, I want it so he can't get out until I let him out. Well, said St. Peter, that is about as silly a first wish as I have ever heard. Now, can't you think a little better? You said something about a hammer. I don't believe I understand. Well, said John, I like this hammer. The handle is just right, and it weighs right, and you know, I like it. But you know, men come in that place of mine, and they borrow this hammer, and the next thing I know, when I look for a hammer, I can't find it. Now, I tell you, I wish that the next time that hammer is picked up by somebody, that he can't let it go until I tell him so. Well, said St. Peter, I do declare I have heard 2 of the most foolish wishes that I have ever heard in my life. Now, I want you to think careful about your 3rd wish. Well, said John, out there is a fire bush, a pretty thorny red fire bush, and I like it. But you know, them farmers come here, and when they come to get their work, they back their wagons on that fire bush, and they break it down. They don't care a thing about it. I wish the next time somebody got close to that fire bush that he couldn't get out till I let him out. Well, said St. Peter, I want you to know that if I have heard three foolish wishes, I have heard them today. But all right, John, you will get your wish, and that's that. And he was gone. Well, John, he sort of grinned and went back to work. And after a while, he went to dinner and sat down. And his wife was not in a good mood. I don't know how it is sometimes with wives, but they're not always in a good mood. And today, his wife was not in a good mood, and she started jawing at him. And one of the things she was jawing at was the fact that he didn't go to church as often as he could. As a matter of fact, he didn't go at all. And he kept just not saying word one, and she kept yelling at him. And finally, because he didn't answer her, he just kind of looked at her, she got so angry, and she said, "And you wicked old man, I wish the devil would take you." And old John, he just kind of grinned, and he went out to the shop. He did that, you know, every once in a while, just to kind of get away. He just went out to the shop, that's all. Well, he was kind of working around there and clanging around, and he noticed that there was somebody at the door. And there he was, a little fella, let's see, oh, about that high. And he had horns, about maybe that long, and his tail, I guess about that long. And he said, "Come on." And John said, "Well, now, who are you?" "Why," he said, "my pappy sent for you. You heard what your wife said, and my pappy gave me orders to take you down there. Now, come on, let's go." "Why," said John, "all right, if you want me to, I'll go. But, you know, I was just finishing this horseshoe for Henry Adams, and I do wish you'd let me finish it. Just sit down in that chair a minute, and I'll just clang on it a couple times." Well, the little feller sat down in the chair, and pretty soon the chair started going back and forth. He was, you know, enjoying himself pretty much. And then all of a sudden, the chair kept going faster and faster. And pretty soon he says, "Well, it's time to go." But he found he couldn't get out. And pretty soon his head was bumping up against that chair back and forth like that, back and forth like that. And he said, "Hey, let me out of here." And John just sat there and grinned. And finally, after the poor little fella's head was just bumped all bumpy, why, John said, "All right, but if you promise not to come back, I'll let you go." And he said, "I won't come back. Then skedaddle." And he went out with a little puff of smoke like that. Well, John, he went back to work and went up to supper and sat down. And you know, that old woman was still kind of on a tear. And she wouldn't let that poor man alone. And she started jawing at him, and the first thing you know, when it got worse and worse and worse, she said, "You wicked old man, the devil take you." And John, he just had enough, didn't say a word, got up, went back to the shop, started working. Well, he'd been working a while, and he felt that there was someone in the shop. There he was. Oh, about that tall. Horns, I would say, medium size, about like that. Tail, about like that. And he said, "All right, it's time now." And John said, "Well, now, who are you?" He said, "I am the older brother of the little fella that you treated so bad." "Well," said John, "I'll be through here in a minute. Why don't you just sit in that? I ain't sitting in no chair." "Well," said John, "all right, if you want me to go. But looky here, I got this horseshoe to fix here. Now, I'm handling it with the tongs. Now, you just give it a couple of licks." "Well, all right." And he got the hammer, and he started whanging on, you know, that red horseshoe and whanging on it. And then pretty soon, whang, whang, whang. And, you know, he couldn't stop whanging. And pretty soon his arm got tired, but there he was. And he said, "Hey, I can't let go of this blame hammer." "Well, I didn't know that," said John. "What do you know about that?" And he said, "Hey, let me go, let me go." And John said, "Not till you not tell me you won't come back. Never, no more." And he said, "I promise." "All right then, skedaddle." And away he went in a big puff of smoke with a little blue kind of to it. Well, John, he sort of grinned and went on working. But then there was no light in that door. He couldn't see the moonlight outside. Because standing in that door, there he was, 7 foot, horns like that and curved, a tail that he just wrapped around his neck very comfortably, you see. And he leaned up against the door and he said, "All right now, come on." "Well, now who are you?" said John. "Well, now you know who I am, and I want you to know that I ain't taking any of your tricks. I ain't touching that chair. I ain't touching no hammer. Now let's go." "I'm not ready yet," said John. "I'll go when I get good and ready." "You're going right now," he said, and he grabbed John right by the shoulder. Now, John wouldn't take nothing from nobody, and he was a strong enough man, so he started wrestling the old fella himself. And you know, they went round and round and round on the ground, biting and scratching and kicking, and they rolled and rolled until finally they touched that fire bush. And there was the old man himself in the middle of that thorny fire bush. And John got up and sat in his rocking chair. You could have heard with that roaring, you could have heard it 2 miles away. Those thorns scratching and everything. And John just sitting there. And finally, after a lot of struggling and hollering and scratching and everything, a little voice came out of the fire bush. Why, Mr. John, what is it you want?" said John. "Why, I wonder if you'd mind letting me out. These thorns is scratching me something terrible." "Well," said John, "now I tell you, I don't know as I can right now." "Oh, come on, if you please," he said. "All right," said John, "but I want you to know that I don't want you and I don't want none of your kin here from now on out, no time, no more. Do you promise?" And he said, "I sure do." "Well, then skedaddle." And there was a puff of red, white, and blue smoke, and he was gone like that. Well, you know, it happens. You gotta go. And old John's time came. And so John, he just went way upstairs and he knocked on the gate and St. Peter came out and why he said, "Hello, John, it's your time, is it?" And John said, "Yes." "Well," said John, "I thought maybe I'd just go on into heaven. I suppose it's all right." And St. Peter said, "Now just wait a minute. And he said, look at this book, John. Now here, on the good side, yeah, you did give an old man something to eat once. But look at all the other side. Why, I tell you, we've had to put in 4 extra pages for you, John. John, you can't make it up here. I'm sorry." "Well," John says, what do I do?" "Well, John, just go on down there." "Well, all right," said John, and he went down there and one of the little imps, the first little imp, you know, saw old John coming up the road. And he ran skedaddling to his daddy and he said, "Hey, Daddy, do you know who's coming up the road? It's old John, that blacksmith." And the old man said, "Close the gates. Put a lock on it." And old John came up there and he says, "Why, howdy, how are you? I've been sent from up there down here and I'd like to get in if you don't mind." "And you ain't getting in here." "I'm not getting in here. Well, now, what am I going to do?" "Here," said the old man, and he reached out and he got with a big pair of tongs, a great big red hot coal. And he handed him the tongs and he said, "Go on and start a hell of your own." And old John, he took that, and you know, when you are in the swamp, sort of in North Carolina and maybe even around here, if you look very carefully, you will see kind of a little light going like that. Now, some scientific folks, you know, think it's swamp fire or swamp gas, kind of a chemical thing. But I know better. That's old John looking for his home. And I think that's right. Thank you.
Well, things are kind of winding down to a close. We have one more group before we introduce the next group. I just wanted to ask if anybody lost a pouch, and also we have a very strange one this time. A grown-up seems to have lost his kid. But Jerry McKee, if he's around, come please claim this poor lost young man, old man over here, okay? Kenny McKee. There's kind of a rule that he has that he has to go with the same number of kids that he came with. Now, I haven't been to these festivals since 1967, and the reason is because we've been in Canada, my wife and I, and when we were there, we met several fine musicians, and we invited a few of them to the festival, and I hope that they come. I guess just about the most exciting group and the most exciting musician that I met in Canada at the Mariposa Festival was Philippe Bruneau, who plays the button accordion. And with him is Yvan, piano player, and Gilles Yvan Bro, and Gilles Lozier playing the bass. And this will be our last performance for Thursday. Philippe Bruneau.
Hello.
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 I'm glad to be here at Fox Hollow again this year. I've been here several times before. And Philip plays a traditional instrument of French Canada. And it's the diatonic button accordion. And we'll play you some French music and some Irish music. And I think Philip understands the French music so well that we decided to start with a piece which Philip composed for the little accordion, but it's played in the traditional style that the French play in Quebec. And it's titled L'Anneau d'Or, which means the golden ring. That seems to be very appropriate because of the golden ring, the group. Thank you.
to play something that is lost since 50 years. Must play Brooklyn by the master of this diatonic accordion, John Kimmel. It's a medley of clog.
Now, this is for you. Listen to these clogs.
Okay, Simina.
That accordion is a little Horner accordion. Eric just asked me, how much does that accordion cost? Come here, $65. About $65.
But it takes 25 years to practice.
We're looking, I just discovered that there are fantastic accordions like that built in Louisiana. There's a man, Mark Savoy in Eunice, who makes them of really fine woods and handmade reeds. He wants about 400 for one like that. They're incredible. Imagine if Philip had that kind of an instrument. It would be just incredible. Anyway, we're going to play you some waltzes in the French tradition. This is a medley of French and Irish waltzes. And this is really beautiful. And what Philip does with the counter melodies and that, the work that has to do with a small instrument like that is really incredible. After that, we'll play you some reels.
Thank you.
Okay. To finish the medley, Philip plays many French, Canadian, and also Irish tunes. But we'll do the British-American polka for our last piece tonight. And there's lots more music for all you people tomorrow. And this is a really loving place for you to be. And the people that are here tonight, you have a privilege to be able to come to Fox Hollow and enjoy in such peace, such beautiful music. And it's a privilege for us to come and play for you. Thank you very much.
Saturday, all the French Canadian, the dancers at Saint Laurent will be here. And I'm going to play the three-roll accordions for the real French Canadian stuff. Tonight is Irish, something like that. But Saturday will be the French Canadian. So, the American polka.
Thank you.
Philippe and Gilles and Yvonne will be back throughout the festival, and also to please remember that Les Danseurs du Saint Laurent, 12 French-Canadian dancers will be here on our big stage on Saturday night and probably either Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and that should be very exciting. And perhaps it would be nice if we all just kind of quietly headed off either during or after this last encore. What I have here is a 7-Up cup. And if you see any of these or anything similar to it, we're all trying to keep them filed in the circular file. So if you see any, you want to pick them up. And now, just the very last number, Philippe Bruno.
Okay, what's your hometown now? Okay?
We'll play you a hornpipe and a reel.
Take your time leaving. There's a whole parking lot of cars to try to get out of one little space. And pick up some cups, and gee, we hope to see you again tomorrow. Good night.